Last week's SmackDown was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So yeah, that's where we have right now, huh? That's where we have right now in the era, huh? But not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfucker.
And
there you go.
All right.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, we got that all sorted out. Now we can resume the review show. All right, is everybody here? Minister, are you here?
I am here. We're missing DJ from Florida right now. We're missing DJ right now. But
okay.
There's no doubt in my mind that he'll be right back, and there he is.
Oh, here he is.
Note.
DJ, are you here
all
with
right.
us? All right. Now that everybody's here, we could resume the review show. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have to start things off with a pre-show that I didn't even watch, but apparently we had a females wrestling match between Mandy Rose and Natalya. I could give two shits about this match because fuck the women's tag division. It's abysmal. But apparently DJ saw it, or maybe Minister saw it too. So tell us your experiences on this match, DJ.
I wasn't really too pleased with Mandy having to take the pin on this because, you know, I think if you look at Mandy and you look at Natalya, you know, obviously Natalya's been in the business a lot longer than Mandy. So I think Mandy, if anything, can use this momentum, you know, a positive momentum to get her going because, you know, she's long overdue to get something going and get some kind of push going. And this is, you know, with Natalya taking an L, it's not going to really hurt her. She's taking so many L's anyway. So it's real. She should now be a talent development, you know, enhancer type of person now. And give, you know, Mandy should have taken the win on this to kind of help her get herself going because she's going to be around when Natalya's done. You know, saying Mandy will probably still be in the business. So, I mean, the match was okay. Nothing exciting about, you know, about the match. You had the tag team champion there, but it was just a singles match. But, I mean, it was fine. I just didn't like the fact that Mandy took the pin.
Now, here's the interesting question. Here's the interesting question, gentlemen. Who's supposed to be...
Christian.
Who's supposed to be the babyface and heel in this situation? Who's the babyface?
Hello?
I'm right here, DJ. DJ.
DJ, can you hear us, DJ?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can
hear
you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, because I kept talking, and Christian just started talking. It was like,
I'm sorry.
That was like what happened. No,
sorry,
I was
bro.
Just saying, I just think Mandy taking the win would have meant a lot more than Natalya taking the win. That's just my take on that.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, bro. This is because the volume on the phone sucks. I'm sorry. But you're going back to the question, who's supposed to be the baby face and heel in this situation?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. I don't know who's supposed to be the baby face or the heel. They all act like heels to me. I don't see anybody looking like a baby face.
One
in this. The match, I thought the match was okay. I mean, first you have Mandy Rose. She's got an outfit change. She's got like a bikini bottom now. So she was looking sweet out there, yeah. And to, you know, touch on what DJ said, it's a little different, you know, having Natalya. But here's the thing, man. Natalya has been beat down so much that they have to elevate her again in order to deem her credible again. And, I mean, I just don't think that Mandy Rose was a good candidate for them to do that with because, like you said, DJ, Mandy Rose is trying to come up. They're trying to get her to come up. And a win, a loss to Natalya certainly doesn't do her any good. It does put her in the picture, and she did get on the main event. I mean, not on the main event, but, you know, she did get in the pay-per-view. So it does put her on there. I guess they're trying to build up Natalya, and, of course, they stuck her with, you know, Tamina. And, I mean, I don't see the build where they're going with Tamina. I don't see any payoff on this other than she got to have a championship reign. That's all I see for Tamina out of this. But, yeah, this probably could have been handled a little bit better. But Mandy Rose is on TV.
Right. That's true. But, you know, you said something about them trying to build up Natalya. Why are they waiting until now to try to build up Natalya?
It's like one of those deals, bro, where, like, you know, they screwed her around for so many years. She's had her runs where she comes up a little bit and then she goes back down. And you know, we see that all the time. They do it with Sheamus. Look where Sheamus is at right now. After, you know, now all of a sudden they're like, hey, we need bigger stars. We need higher caliber stars to lead the show. So what are they going to do? They're going to tap on Sheamus. He's been a multi-champion and shit like that. So here he is. They're putting him up to light so that he can build up these younger cats. And I think that's what they're trying to do with Natalya. But, you know, it might be a little too late. You're right.
Natalya's been in the WWE for at least 12, 13 years now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They should have been built her up. At this point, with her having that many years in this company, they should be using her and her experience and her talent as a professional wrestler to enhance other females up and coming.
Yes,
like
I definitely agree.
You know, and I just, like, that's why I was saying, I don't think an L here for Natalya would hurt her at all. She's taken plenty of L's as it is. I think it would have meant more for Mandy to take the win here, but that's just how I feel about it. Because, like I said, I think Mandy, if, you know, she stays healthy and her heart and desire is still into pro wrestling, will be here when Natalya's gone.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
She needs that momentum. But it is what it is.
Yeah. It is what it is. So now we go to the main card. We open the show with the SmackDown Women's Hell in a Cell match. A decent match. But here's the thing. This didn't need to be a Hell in a Cell match. I mean, nowhere in the build was it indicated that this was a Hell in a Cell match. They decided it on the last minute on the go-home show of SmackDown. This was unnecessary for this to be a Hell in a Cell match. That's my opinion. The match was good, but it wasn't crazy. It wasn't something to write home about. It was decent. It was a good opener, though. DJ, your thoughts?
I agree. I think the whole idea of making this a Hell in a Cell match was because Bianca had never been. Bayley's been in one of these matches already. Bianca has it. I think it may not be the main reason, but I think it is one of the reasons why they did this, just to give her first, you know, Hell in a Cell match. But you're right, it didn't need to be. I would have rather seen the Rhea Ripley and Charlotte match in a cell rather than Bayley and Bianca. Again, that's just my opinion. This match was decent. It was fine. I missed a little bit of it. I did have to get up at some point. One of the things I missed was actually the ending. And the pin that Bianca got on Bayley. But from what I saw, the match was decent. It wasn't terrible, but it did. Yeah, but you're right. It did not need to be.
Yeah, this was the weaker Bayley Hell in a Cell matches. Last year's with Sasha was way better. That's my opinion. Minister, your thoughts?
Well, I have to say that. I thought the match was good. I don't remember last year's match exactly. I'd have to rewatch it to compare, to make that comparison. But I thought this match was good. Here you have, I think I have to disagree. I think it did have to be in Hell in a Cell. And the only reason, there's a caveat to that, though. The only reason is because, you know, it's women, and they didn't have a women Hell in a Cell match, and it's 2021, and we have to be fair to the women. And, you know, you might call me a bad guy for saying it, but that's where we are, and that's why we had to have this fucking match inside Hell in a Cell. But I digress. Now, we get to Bianca and Bayley. These are two women who they both have my respect because they themselves, I can see them, and they both respect the business, okay? And one of the ways you can tell this is they put their money back into their craft. Like, these women get paid, and they want to look good out there. They go out there, and they buy new boots and shit. Look at the boots that Bianca Belair had on. Those were some badass boots. Bayley, yeah. She was wearing just regular black heel boots, okay? However, if you notice, she's always been one to get boots that go with her uniform or with what her character is. When she was, you know, the babyface Bayley, she always had badass boots and stuff. And that's why I respect these women. Getting on, I mean, and by the way, this is something that you would never see that cheap-ass Daniel Bella doing. He always just gets those fucking sleeves that you put up over your fucking boots and shit. But I digress, and that's another topic for maybe another show. They had a hell of a match, I thought. I thought they had a hell of a match, you know, for the women out there. They're obviously two of the better women on the roster, and they displayed that tonight. They also, I thought they got a little creative with the hair shit that they did. Bayley tying up the hair to the chair. I think it was, yeah, to the chair. And then later on, Bianca taking turning the shit around and tying Bayley to the hair. And we had like a bull rope match out there, which was kind of old school. And the finish to this match was also old school, but I'll get to that in a little bit. They also brought out a ladder, and I thought that was cool, too, to add to the match. And then, of course, we had the kiss of death on the ladder to finish it off by Bianca Belair. And, I mean, you know, after seeing this match and even the women's pre-show match, I was like, shit, we're off to an auspicious beginning here. What the hell? What else could fucking Hell in a Cell offer up tonight? I was truly surprised. Right.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen the ending. Like I said, I had to get up from my desk for a minute, and I normally put it on my phone because I have a way of watching it on my phone when I'm not at my computer. And for that match, I did not do that. I thought I was going to get back in time, but I didn't. So I missed the ending, which was probably the best part of the match anyway. So
yeah, she gave her a kiss of death on top of the ladder and shit, and that was it. And I thought it was a good match for the women. And you know, like I said, I hate to be cut and dry about it, but that's the only reason why it was in a cell.
Yes, but the real question, gentlemen, is where do we go from here? What happens now?
That's a good question, Christian. And I question that, too. Where does this leave this feud at? Is it over? Does Bayley find somebody else to pick on? And does somebody else call, you know, go up to Bianca and challenge for the title? I don't know yet.
Well, you know, they do this on purpose, right? So that way we don't have a choice but to watch.
You know,
on Monday or
exactly.
Friday to see. So they kind of leave. It's like a cliffhanger. It's like they leave you kind of wondering, like, what's going to happen? I guess we're going to have to watch. You know,
I
Monday
know if they've been doing
whatever.
A better job at that too, DJ. They've been doing a better job at leaving cliffhangers.
I agree. I absolutely agree. They used to be fantastic at doing that back in the day, man. Where they leave things where it's like, oh man, I definitely got to tune in Monday. Or I definitely got to tune in.
Oh
You know, it was fantastic back in the day, and they just got away from it, and they just. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's just Vince got old and he just, you know, he just wasn't into it like he was before. I don't know, but or maybe he felt like he was betrayed by a lot of his big superstars he had back then that left him and went on to pursue other careers and got, you know, and that's why he doesn't want to create big stars, you know, in his promotion. He felt like he got stabbed in the back after doing that. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I wish it was. They were able to do things like they did back in the day, you know, just to make things a little bit better. But I don't know. We'll see what happens when they go back on the road and they start touring and going to different cities again. And we'll see if that changes. Maybe they're just hanging on for right now until they go on the road. And maybe we'll see some things get better. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
My guess is going to be Carmella who challenges Bianca next.
Oh,
Carmella, they've done it better than Carmella, man. They have buried her. And as far as that, and as far as Carmella, even Marie and her debut was pathetic. And I just think with having that, what's her name, Piper Niven come out and fight for her, bury her right there at the moment. As far as I'm concerned, that was terrible. That just them telling us she's not ready, even though they showed her training during her little vignette that she was doing. But it really didn't mean nothing. Because apparently, she wasn't ready. So
yeah, fuck Eva Marie. All right, next up we go to another good match, Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. It was a hard-hitting match. Cesaro was getting his ass kicked, you know, he was the underdog in the story, until a roll-up pin, and Seth Rollins wins, you know, because he lost twice to Cesaro, one at WrestleMania and one in SmackDown. So Seth Rollins has to win, you know, to get his, you know, his comeback heat. But again, this leads the question, are we going to see these two wrestle again? And I don't want that. I'm tired of this feud. Like, I don't want to see these two wrestle again.
What else is there to do? I mean, it's one of those things that's going to make you watch their weekly show to see what they're going to do. If they are either going to continue this or if they're going to go a different route. It's just one of those things where we have to wait now and see what they decide they want to do. You're right. I don't want to see this again. You know, Cesaro took the pin. This should be done. But the question is, what's next?
I hate them.
I'll tell you what, guys. For me, I got to tell you guys, I'm afraid I got some bad news, guys. And I wish I had that freaking sound effect from fucking Wade Barrett. Because it's the goddamn truth. I'm afraid I got some bad news. You're going to be seeing this shit again for some time. Look at fucking Sami Zayn. You want to talk about something you fucking don't want to see again? Let's cut to the fucking chase and get to the next match or whenever fucking Sami Zayn and goddamn fucking Kevin Owens. How many times have we seen that shit on a fucking pay-per-view? And by the way, tonight's match was fucking badass by them both. I mean, I gotta say, I paid attention to it. It was a kick-ass fucking match, but goddamn it. But before we get there, I mean, you know, that was the question I had. But I'm also left to wonder about this one, too. I mean, here we have Cesaro and Rollins. Great fucking feud from the start. I've been intrigued by this feud from the beginning, okay? My question going into this, would Rollins get beat 3 in a row? And if he does, where does he go from here and shit? And,
I didn't think he would.
He pulled out all the fucking stops, man. It was a great fucking match. And of course, we had that fucking cliche during the match. What do I have to do to win this match? And shit from the commentary. Always going to have that shit when it's a good match like that. But after a grueling fucking match, fucking Cesaro busted out the swing. And after a pair of sharpshooters, Cesaro started punishing Rollins by stomping the shit out of his arm. And it was fucking killer. Yeah. It was fucking badass. I was thinking we were going to have a fucking secondary heel turn. I was like, fuck, how much more heels can fucking Rollins get? I mean, he was beating the shit out of him right there. And just when he thought Cesaro was going to finish Rollins off, we got a surprise fucking roll-up. A roll-up from Rollins.
Yeah. Can I just say something about roll-ups?
Yep. They're doing a lot of roll-ups right now. And, of course, that finish just left me wondering, guys, where the fuck do we go from here?
That's a million-dollar question.
All right, and so what do you want to say about roll-ups, DJ?
I was going to say I hate the roll-up. I hate that pin because they do it so much that it's making me sick now to see it every time. It's like their go-to cheap way out of a match. Let's roll up. Let's hook the tight. You know, however you're going to get the pin. I just, oh, they're just, it's like a great song that comes out on radio, and they overplay it, and they play it about 12 million times a day, and it gets old, and you get tired of it, and that's how these roll-up pins is making me feel, like they use over and over and over again. It's like, whether or not they hook the tights or not, a roll-up is a roll-up, and it's disgusting, and they
I hate them.
I hate them.
I hate them. Not only that, it takes away the intensity of the match.
It kills all the fucking everything. It kills the whole momentum and shit. Like, yeah, I was expecting much more. I would have preferred a better finish than just a cheap ass roll up.
Yeah. And that we go to the third match. You know, we thought, man, this pay-per-view has been so good. I'm surprised. Then we go to the third match, and fuck this match. This is the worst. This is the first worst match of the whole night. Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. Complete and utter bullshit. Horrible. Didn't I tell you, Minister, in the prediction show that I called the spots? I called the spot, right? Where I said that Shayna was going to beat the shit out of Alexa Bliss the entire match. And then fucking she does supernatural shit and she wins the fucking match.
Yeah.
This shit is so fucking predictable. It's fucking terrible. She possesses Nia, makes her slap Reginald, and then screams like a fucking wildebeest, and then beats Shayna Baszler clean. This shit fucking sucked. This was horrible. Horrible. DJ, is your thoughts on this?
Well, one, pinning Shayna Baszler clean, to be honest with you, is it going to hurt her any more than what they've been doing with her at the Blade? She's already buried. They've already just tarnished whatever. If she even had any momentum whatsoever, I don't know how long it's going to take to get her back to where she's believable and people are going to believe in her. And her promos are god-awful. She needs to work on her promo skills as well. as far as this match goes, I like Alexa Bliss. Okay, I've always liked Alexa Bliss. I loved it when she started doing this character in the beginning. And ever since, I loved what she's been doing with it, especially when Athena isn't there. So I'm still a big fan of her character because this is, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, this is her best work yet. Because before, I didn't really care for her except the fact that she's hot, but I didn't care for her in-ring ability because she really didn't do much. You know, she was out for a long time. She got so they kept her out for a long time. She really didn't do anything. But now that she's got into this role, it's like it's the role that she's been waiting for. That she's doing really good with. And now, what happened tonight, do I think, you know, they could have done something a little bit better than what they did, obviously. I don't know what to say. I mean, I think maybe it's just the fact that I'm kind of into the supernatural stuff. Maybe that's kind of clouding my mind and trying to come up with a, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. You know, try to comment on this and not actually throw it in the trash completely. I'll just say this. Do I think it could have been done a little bit better? Am I upset that Shayna took an L here clean? Not really, because she's already been buried. If she hadn't been buried and she had a lot of momentum going with her, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, for no reason, she takes an L, okay, that would have been different. But because she's already been buried, and her booking has been crap, it didn't even matter if she took the L. All it did was make her even worse. I mean, she was terrible as it is now, but it just made her even worse and more buried. So,
exactly.
It probably wasn't the best match at all. But, you know, again, it is what it is.
All right, Minister, your thoughts?
Well, the whole Alexa and Shayna Baszler thing has actually started making me like, or at least be able to pass the whole Alexa Bliss thing. You remember me being quite vocal about it and how they've bastardized everything the Undertaker has ever done and shit because of the way they've used her special powers. But it seems like they took a turn that made it a little bit more entertaining, at least for me. And that was tonight. I mean, it was absolutely horrifying how Alexa Bliss was able to just turn Nia against the sommelier. What's his name?
Reginald.
Yeah, against Reginald at the drop of a dime. I mean, she had her under a momentary spell, Alexa Bliss did. And so obviously she's able to do that. Look at what she did to fucking Randy Orton. And by the way, that thing just went away. So she left them all three in the ring in the middle as she, you know, took off laughing and shit. And I'm just wondering, is that what's going to happen to them? Are they just going to go away while she focuses on somebody else? Is she going to be the one to go after Bianca Belair is what I'm left wondering.
Well, I have no idea.
Are they just going to kill the story just the way they did the Randy Orton one? Because if they do that, that's going to, you know, probably make me go back to like, no, fuck this shit all over again. And by the way, we just lost DJ from FLA.
Hold on, he'll try to call back.
Yeah, hopefully. But that was a thing, and it did happen exactly the way you said it would.
Yeah. So.
Exactly.
Did DJ came back yet?
Yeah, he's back right
I'm
now.
Here.
All right. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
I got these new earphones and I accidentally touched it in the wrong spot in my ear and it hung up. I apologize.
Yeah. All right, now we go back to normality. We go back to probably the best match of the night, in my opinion, you know, because this looked fucking real. This was fucking real. This looked, me and DJ were watching this and we could both agree that this was a fucking shoot fight between two friends. It was Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, you know, selling the Nigerian spike the entire match. He's been coughing, right? Until one moment where Sami Zayn suplexed. I don't know what happened here, right? One moment, Sami Zayn did a suicide dive. And I think, or definitely, Sami Zayn landed wrong. And he landed on Kevin Owens' wrist. And I think he broke his wrist. But there's more to this.
He may have like a dislocated shoulder.
That it might be a dislocated shoulder, yeah. What happens in this match, they start really beating the shit out of each other. Because I'm seeing real punches to the face, a real elbow shot. Sami Zayn is fucking bleeding out of his mouth because Kevin Owens punched the shit out of him. And then the finisher, the Illuma kick, really hit Kevin Owens square in the fucking face. So this was a fucking shoe fight, and it was entertaining. I loved it.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts, DJ?
Well, like I said, I think at that point when you did that suicide dive onto Kevin, and landed on his arm or his shoulder, I think that was the turning point of this match where it turned into a shoot fight, at least from what me and Christian saw. And then I think what really pissed off Kevin was that when Sami hooked the one arm and had his arm on the back of Kevin's neck and flipped him over and legit flipped him on his neck, on the back of his head. I don't think that sit well with Kevin because at one point when Kevin was laying there and he was looking at Sami when Sami Zayn was right there in his face and Kevin took his hand and pushed him, like legit pushed him in his face to get him off of him. And I think at that point right there, it got real serious because there was a lot of like stiff punches, stiff elbows. I mean, they were legit kicking each other's ass in that ring. It looked legit to me. I don't care what anybody says. And then at the end, when Sami hit the Illuma kick, I was flush in the face. I mean, flush. So this, by far, even though I don't think it was supposed to turn into a shoe fight, if that's what it did, it was still fantastic. And they, and I said it earlier on when this match first started. I said, how many times have we seen these two fight? And I'm talking about when they were in NXT, and I think they even fought even before they were in NXT. But the thing about it is when they do fight each other, they always put on a good show. Always. And tonight was fantastic. And I knew that we were going to put on a good show. I was just like, we need to see it. How many more times do we need to see it? These two fight each other. We know what they can do. We know they're great. We know they have chemistry. But how many times do we have to see it? But, I mean, again, this is probably could be the match of the night. For me, anyway. So, but, and then I guess Sammy getting the win, that might have been inaudible because of Kevin being hurt. But we'll find out in the next coming days. I'm sure there'll be news on this match. And if anything, if Kevin got hurt for real, which it looked like he did, because he was talking to the referee after the match, pointing to his shoulder and saying stuff to the referee. So he could be legit injured, but we'll find out in the next day or two.
Well, Minister, what are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, regardless of what I said, you know, being tired of watching the same shit over and over again, it was a damn hell of a good match. And they beat the shit out of each other out there. Whether it was a shoot or not, I don't know. But, you know, they could have been just pissed off because they fucking, you know, have to fight each other so much. They can't fight anybody else. It seems like they can't book them to fight against anybody else because they always end up going back to each other. So maybe they were pissed off about that. Who the hell knows? But they put on a good fucking match, man, and it was entertaining. We had blood. We had what looked like legit injuries. We had what could have been botches that left us questioning. All kinds of questions here. And they're not questions because of bad writing. So this is good. This is good. This is good shit. And whatever it was, I don't know. I'm wondering if it's the end because, you know, it seemed like it was the way Sami Zayn took off and was talking into the camera and talking about how, you know, there was this was karma and it's over and blah, 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 or whatever the hell he said. But it seems like it's the end of it.
And I would not be surprised if it is.
And what if it is the end of it? Because it is Hell in a Cell. There are supposed to be some things that end at Hell in a Cell, you know.
Right. Well, I'll say this. If this is the end of it, and if Kevin is legit injured, it's not going to matter what they do with Kevin because he's going to probably be out for a while. If he does, in fact, have a pretty bad shoulder injury, if it's dislocated, if it's whatever the case may be, if it's a bad wrist, he's going to be out for a while anyway. So that'll give them time to figure out what to do with him next, you know, when he gets better. As far as Sami Zayn, you know, I'd love to know where he goes. I mean, I know he's all about the, you know, being the Intercontinental Champion, you know, so I wonder if maybe they have him continue his quest in going after the IC title. I don't know what else they could have him do it other than that.
They could have him feud against Shinsuke for the crown.
They could. Now that you brought that up, I did read something a couple of days ago that Baron Corbin was on a podcast, and he had made mention or teased about WWE maybe bringing back the King of the Ring tournament. So that could be that's something that we might see. I don't know which. It probably won't be a pay-per-view. It'll just probably be on one of the brands either. I'd probably say SmackDown since Corbin's on SmackDown, but they would probably.
And gentlemen, I think we're also approaching the draft, are we not?
Yeah.
The draft is coming, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of these things get broken up also due to the draft. So this could be one of those things where they gave us a good, you know, finale for this for now. Because there's no doubt in my mind that we'll see Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens again in the future. And I don't know if I'll be saying, you know, fuck, I'm sick and tired of this shit. You know, after the match they had tonight. I mean, they beat the shit out of each other out there, and I was happy with
that. Legit. And, yeah, and the draft will be a week after SummerSlam.
And it could have been one of those deals, guys, where they just, you know, they know each other, they love each other, they've worked together, they're friends and shit, where they just said, let's just beat the fuck out of each other, we got this. You know my limitations, I know yours, let's just go out there and fucking do it. Let's put on a show. Let's get the match of the night.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
If they can keep putting on good matches, I'll watch it every time. But, you know, they won't let people down if when they fight them. Because they know each other that well. That's why they can put on good matches. So.
Yep. Oh, no, it was a good thing. It was a good match. It was good for
Pat
everybody.
Pat McAfee was also, this was the first time I've been exposed to Pat McAfee by name. Okay, I have a hard time keeping up with these motherfuckers because they give us so many different guys week after week, it seems like. But shit, Pat McAfee was fucking badass in that match. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and check out that match. He was killer, man. This is very entertaining.
Yeah, he's so much better than the other guy that was there. What's that? What was his name?
Adnan Virk, that fuck.
Adnan Virk. Yeah.
Go back to MLB, you fucking loser.
Oh.
Oh, shit. You mean to tell me he was a fucking MLB guy going to do wrestling?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Whoever fucking hired him for that spot should be looked at. That, you know what I mean? I mean, come on, man. MLB is the most fucking boring game in the fucking world. And you're going to get a commentator from MLB to do wrestling? Get the fuck out of here.
Awesome. That's what happens when you first fire Samoa Joe. So right now, we go to the semi-main event, the most disappointing, frustrating match of the night. Shocker, I know. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. And a terrible feud. Terrible build-up. Decent match. But fucked finish. What the fuck were they thinking with this fucking finish? Who the fuck gets disqualified taking a piece of announcer table and hitting them?
I saw that, and I made mention of this, and I basically people can put someone through the announce table, but if you flip the top part of the announce table off and hit somebody with it, you get disqualified. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But I'll tell you the one thing too: there was a botch, at least one botch that I'm aware of. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was when Rhea Ripley was on the mat, and Charlotte went to do some foot stomps, and there was one point where she had to do a foot stomp, and clearly wasn't even near Rhea when she did it. Like, she was foot stomping air. I was like, what is she? Who is she trying to foot stomp there? Rhea wasn't even close. It looked so just horrible. I don't know if that was Rhea Ripley's timing off. Maybe she was supposed to stay there a little bit longer, and she rolled away too early, or maybe Charlotte miscued it. I don't know, but it looked bad. But probably not as worse as the ending of this match. That was terrible. Everybody was talking about it on Twitter. I think everybody has the same feelings on it. You know, they could have they could have done something different. If they want to go with the DQ, why not use a chair or some other believable weapon? You know, not the top of a freaking announce table. Are you kidding me? And I know this one chick on Twitter said that they did this on purpose to get for Becky to return and to turn this into a triple threat. Okay, fine. That's fine. You could be right. Maybe they did this on purpose. But if they're going to go with a DQ, it should have been better than the top of a freaking announce table. And I'm all good. I'm all fine with that if Becky comes back and they make it a triple threat for the title. Whatever. Just the ending could have been a lot better. You know, that's just... And then with that botch that happened, I had a feeling this match was going to be pretty good because of how Monday Night Raw ended with those. Well, I don't think it ended with those. When those two were brawling on Monday Night Raw and, Charlotte with a bloody nose and whatnot, they were legit killing each other. So that got me kind of hyped up for this match, to be honest with you. So they did a good job with that on Raw. So this match was fine except for the botch and the ending. That was my only two things on that.
Yeah. Minister, what are your thoughts on these two just wasting our time.
Well, actually, I have to disagree. I thought it was a good match or whatever, or a good segment, I guess I should say. They, you know, I hardly ever use this term because I never really see it, but I saw it this time. And they told a good story from the, to me from the beginning to the end. And it started with Charlotte grabbing the fucking championship and throwing it at Rhea. I mean, that was a real heel thing to do, okay? So the bell finally rings, yeah. And then we get started. And then, you know, Charlotte goes in on Rhea and shit. And the whole time she's talking shit to her. And it's like a whole Ric Flair type thing. It's like you're seeing shades of Ric Flair, you know. And I was expecting her to say, now we go to school, you know, like Flair used to say and shit. But she never got that far. But she was still saying, like, lesson number one, lesson number two, and this and that type of shit, right? And so then as the match continued, fucking, it got turned around on her. And at the end of the day, it was Rhea Ripley, and this is where I have to disagree with you guys again. I thought it was a brilliant finish because Rhea Ripley freaking turned the tables on Charlotte and did the whole dirtiest player in the game to her, got disqualified. Now, also, I got to say, I'm not sure how that was a fucking disqualification. They should have done something, had her do something a lot more fucking devious. You know, that was a cheap-ass fucking disqualification, but nevertheless, she won the title in a fucking heelish way, just like her old man, just like Charlotte's old man would have. So, therefore, she turned the tables on Charlotte, and she got the win in a dirty way. And, of course, I'm thinking that it's time to break them up and move Charlotte to Raw or SmackDown or whatever the hell and get them apart. And that's probably where this is going to end, is in the draft.
Yeah, but it makes her look weak, Minister. It makes her look fucking weak as a champion.
Rhea Ripley? But
yeah.
she's not even quite developed yet, though. For all we know, she's just a fucking placeholder until somebody comes back. I get that. They're just getting her out there for the notoriety. And, like, again, just like I said, a lot of times these people come in and they immediately put the titles and shit on them, like Sheamus did back in the day.
Right.
And then they let them develop over time. And then, you know, once she gets her shit together, then she'll be a little bit more credible and they can start doing different things with her. But for right now, I think they're probably doing that just to protect her. You're right, because she's not great in the ring, bro. She's not great in the ring, but she does have the look, the stamina, and the drive, and you know, she's got a thing about her. And so, you know, I think they're just trying to, you know, they're being patient and protecting her.
What were you saying, DJ?
No, I was just saying, I agree, you know, with them. They're telling a story with this match and stuff, and I think you agreed as far as, you know, they could have done something different for that DQ finish.
Oh yeah, most definitely, bro.
The only thing I said was besides the botch and the way they did the DQ, I thought this match was fantastic. I thought this was a great match. I don't know, man. I just wish they would have done something different. You know, and the thing about it, did you hear Charlotte at the end of that match when Rhea was walking up and she was saying stuff to her? She's like, "Now you're learning." Now you're learning. She said something.
I taught you, bitch.
Yeah, so it's like you said, Rhea turned the tables on her, and now she became, you know, like Charlotte wants to be like her father and be the dirtiest player in the game, you know, for the women. And now Rhea turned it around, and now she became...
Yeah, and now we're left with, you know, they'll probably have one more match on Raw or some shit, and Charlotte does something back to Rhea, but it'll be a non-title match, and then they'll break it off with the fucking draft. I think that's where we're at with this.
But here's the thing, though. Now we're stuck in this dilemma now, like we were with one of the other matches. Is, well, who's the heel and who's the face? You know, it's like somebody on Twitter said, I think it's the same person I was talking to about this. She says that she thinks this was supposed to be a double turn. But now with the way the crowd reacted, if you want to call it a crowd, it wasn't a real, real crowd. It kind of left us wondering now. You know, now she could be right. Maybe it was meant to be a double turn. But it just, for some reason, it just didn't, I don't know. It just didn't work out that way. So now it's like, okay, so who's the heel? Who's the face? Are they both heels? Are they, I mean, it's like, who knows? Now it's one, again, it's one of those things you have to wait until Monday now to find out what else is going to happen. So it's just hard to tell.
Now we go to the main event. We go to the main event, Hell in a Cell match between Drew Reigns 2.0, because Drew McIntyre is Roman Reigns 2.0, with his god-awful fucking promos and his boring deliveries about spiders and castles and shit, against Bobby Lashley in a Hell in a Cell match. It was brutal. It was a great Hell in a Cell match. Kudos to both guys. But the right winner won. Bobby Lashley retained, thank God. I had a fear that Drew was going to win the fucking title. I was scared. But thank God Bobby Lashley won. Yeah. And that's it. Drew McIntyre is out of the title hunt for now.
Thank God. There is a God.
But there goes another question now. Who the fuck faces Bobby Lashley for this title now? I'm already saying that's fucking Kofi Kingston because of the MVP bullshit.
No.
But that's until SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's until they get asses and seats to pay for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
They got to have asses and seats to pay for Brock Lesnar's fucking salary, his outrageous salary that he makes. So right now, where they got no fucking asses and seats to be able to pay his ass, it's gonna be somebody else, man. They're gonna feed him somebody else, just like they
Because the next pay per view is Money in the Bank. There's gonna be crowds at Money in the Bank.
Oh, well, it's easy. You book Brock Lesnar at the end of Money in the Bank.
No, it's gonna be fucking Kofi Kingston facing Bobby Lashley. I'm not excited for that.
I still remember I told you earlier that MVP took to Twitter and he said, Lesnar fears Lashley. Christian got mad because he's like, why are you giving it away? Why are you giving it away?
He's giving it away.
They're giving what away?
MVP is giving it away on Twitter that Lesnar fears Lashley. He's giving it a fucking way. He's giving it away. Like, there's no surprise.
It's not like we don't know, bro.
I know, but fuck, at least hype it. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Don't go on fucking social media.
We've been doing this. We've been doing this shit for fucking 6 months already. Expecting it, you know? I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
We all know, and they have to know that we know.
There's no surprises anymore.
Surprises in wrestling have been bastardized completely.
Only WWE, only AEW does that now. I'm allowed to say that here.
Yeah, you can say that.
You know, with the whole Andrade thing, that was a surprise. Nobody expected him to be on there. Did they leak that out? No. There was speculation that he was going to sign with AEW, but nobody knew that he would show up on a random show on a Friday night.
Andrade. Nobody knew that Andrade was coming to AEW. Nobody knew that he was going to come on that Friday.
No, I didn't expect it. I was like, well, shit, he's going to have a fucking 90-day non-compete and all that shit. But no, but he didn't get a non-compete because why? Because of Charlotte.
Yeah. And he's got
and maybe this is why they're booking her to shit. That's why.
I mean, you have to think, and I mean, she would be on her, she's going to finish this contract out with WWE, and she's going to honor it in a good way, and she's going to leave for a while, and then she'll come back.
I don't want her to come back.
but she will. She's the queen. And by the way, I liked how fucking, what's her name, Rhea Ripley called her Queenie. She calls her Queenie. that's so heelish.
Yeah.
So anyway, Bobby Lashley won against Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Drew McIntyre is out of the title hunt. There's questions now. There's two questions. Who's Bobby Lashley going to face at Money in the Bank? And what is Drew McIntyre going to do? I swear to God, if this motherfucker wins Money in the Bank, I'm going to fucking flip.
Who?
Drew McIntyre.
And he just very well might do that. Because been saying that it's going to be Bobby Lashley against Brock Lesnar. But what if they flip the fucking script on us? Drew McIntyre wins the championship. What if they book them all in the match, including Bobby Lashley, for the title? When was the last time we saw a championship Money in the Bank ladder match for the title?
That's a disgrace. If Drew McIntyre wins fucking that briefcase and cashes it in on Bobby Lashley, I'm going to fucking rant. I don't want to see Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I don't want to see that. And I don't want to see a triple threat match. I just want to see Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley in a singles fucking match.
That's what I want.
No more fucking triple threat matches. I don't.
Bro, that's all I want too. But I can't, always get what I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you on that.
So, DJ, what's your take on all this?
Well, first of all, the match we saw tonight, I thought was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all over the place with this match, man, and using tables and kendo sticks. They were all over the place. Yeah, they did. They legit beat the shit out of each other in this match, for real. I really thought, though, for a minute, that McIntyre was going to get his title back.
Yeah.
I really thought. Just the way the match was going and, McIntyre just taking over the match, I was just like, wow, this is going to actually happen, huh? And then, of course, somehow, some way, the cameras didn't pan out. I didn't see it unless you guys saw it. I don't know how MVP got into the cage. But he somehow got in the cage and pulled the damn referee out of the ring before he could count to three. And I hate that. That cage is supposed to be there to keep people from coming in and to keep people from going out. And MVP's in there? Come on, man. Whoever's on the outside, by that door, making sure, I don't think there is a door. Well, maybe there was a door. How did he get in? That's what I want to know.
All right, so if you don't remember, the referee was down, and Drew was calling for another referee to come in. So there was three referees outside of the fucking steel cage. One of them was opening the fucking door, but when we saw Drew McIntyre hit a claymore, there was no fucking referee outside, and the door was closed. So I don't know how the fuck they did it.
Yeah, the referee
probably fucking did it. What's his name? What the fuck is the manager guy? MVP. He's going to come out. He's going to fucking add a fucking top hat to his fucking gimmick, to his fucking cane, and he's going to turn himself into a goddamn magician. That's the only way they could have fucking done this shit. Get the fuck out of here. I was questioning that, too. How the fuck did he get in there? That's where they fucked up, dude. And that's the part of the shit that I can't stand. It makes it incongruent. At least show me how he's fucking getting in. If he's bribing somebody or fucking putting poison in somebody's face, whatever the fuck, show it to me.
And also,
surprise me like that. I mean, how the fuck did he get in?
And also, this ruins Hell in a Cell, because the whole point of Hell in a Cell is to stop people from interfering. But obviously, it doesn't do its fucking job because people can interfere. Anyway, so what the fuck's the point of the cell?
Hell in a Cell's been bastardized long, long ago. Long ago.
So, yeah, DJ, finish your thoughts?
No, like I said, that part just befuddled me. I'm just, I thought McIntyre was going to have it, and I didn't realize that MVP was going to be in, was going to be able to get in there and pull the referee out. So that kind of pissed me off a little bit. But overall, the match was good. Lashley winning, I guess you could say in a way, was no surprise. But I really thought for a while there that McIntyre was going to get in. But you're right, now it's like where what's going to happen with McIntyre now? You know, what direction are they going to go? Again, another one of those matches. Like they make all these matches where they make you have to tune in now to their weekly show. That's, you know, you see the trend they got going with the matches that they did and the way they end them. Even though they may be the shittiest endings ever and maybe they make no sense, but they're doing their job in making us have to watch, you know, on Monday or Friday, whichever the case may be. So, I mean, I'm most likely going to watch. I'm sure, Christian, you're going to watch. We're both on the same Discord, and we usually are on Discord
at
the same time when we're listening to it anyway. So we'll definitely figure out what's going to happen. But like I said, they're doing their job. They're making us want to watch, and that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, making us suffer, yeah.
But again,
what is your opinion about the impending thought of Drew McIntyre winning the briefcase?
I just think that's, again, I think it's just a cheap way to get him back in. But they can't do that, though, because he cannot have any more title shots. Well, maybe they made that with Lashley. Maybe that's the stipulation that if, well, Lashley has the title, he can't challenge him anymore with the title. So the possibility of him getting back in by winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, it needs to be somebody else, man. They can't keep using the same people. I mean, come on. You gotta. That's the problem with WWE, man, is they're using the same people over and over again because Vince doesn't trust anybody. He doesn't think anybody else besides those that he keeps using over and over again can do the job, can hold their own. Vince has a trust issue, and that's why his shows suck, because he's using the same people over and over again, and it's the same crap. He tries to change it up and make it look like it's different, but it's really not. It's all still the same. So as far as McIntyre winning the bank, the briefcase, I just don't think that. I don't agree with it, but is it out of the realm of possibilities? Absolutely not.
All right, Minister, what are your thoughts on the impending thought of Drew McIntyre winning the fucking briefcase?
Well, I mean, you know, if it happens, it happens. So be it. But I still think it needs to be Lashley versus Brock one-on-one. But, guys, we can't ignore the fact that this fucking match was so badass. They got creative in this match, too, with the use of the kendo stick and the way they used it with MVP sliding it through and shit, trapping Drew McIntyre back behind it while Lashley was beating the fuck out of him. This was a killer fucking match. They got really physical for us out there, man, and I got to thank these guys. I mean, they made it look fucking badass. Did you see the fucking welts on their back? Drew McIntyre specifically. You could also see them on Bobby Lashley. Even though you don't see the fucking welts themselves because of his skin color, you still see the fucking the swell lines where they're swollen and shit. And, I mean, man, these guys... Man, they put it all out there. And I have to say, man, I can't stand the fucking Claymore kick. It looks so fucking phony half the time. I just can't pass that shit. But other than that, man, I mean, you know, it was a good match. And I thought that the right person won. And I didn't mind the finish.
Oh, yeah, the finish, yeah.
Even though it was a roll-up. And again, I didn't mind the finish. I thought it was old school, like an old school NWA fucking World Championship Wrestling type deal in a big time match, you know. And then they gave it all they had. But at the end, a simple fucking roll up sometimes, less is more, wins the match.
Yeah.
And I thought that's how they used it, even though the roll-up, I have to agree with the statement made earlier that the roll-up has been used too much lately. I thought it was used effectively in this finish. And again, they'll probably break these two up in the draft.
Probably. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing before we give our ratings. First off, now that Kevin Owens is potentially injured, we just lost another superstar into the roster, and they need as much people as they have right now because they're fucked when it comes to stars. So this was not a good time for him to be fucking injured knowing that they're going to be back on the road. So they're fucked. They are fucked. But
they're fucked.
Yeah, they're fucked. So now we made it. We're going to give our scores. All right, so I'm going to give mine first. I'm going to give this show, 8 out of 10.
Wow.
This show was a great show.
Wow.
The reason why I'm giving it 8 out of 10 was because the two matches that sucked were the women's match between Alexa Bliss and Shayna and that god-awful ending with Rhea Ripley and Charlotte. But other than that, this was a great show, and I hope Money in the Bank is also a great show. I don't know about Raw. Raw's going to be pretty fucking garbage tomorrow, possibly. So that's my score. DJ, what's your score?
Oh, wow, man. If I had to give a rating for this show, I don't know if I'd give it an 8, but I'd probably be just a tad bit lower than you, and I'd probably give it a 7.5. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a 7.5 for this show. It was okay. It was good. There was a lot of good things that happened. There was some, you know, and not so good things that happened. So I'm pretty much right at about 7.5 for this.
Nice. Awesome. All right,
Minister, what's your score?
Yeah, man, I can't believe you gave it so high. But I myself had intentions on giving this a high rating. In fact, it even tops yours. And I thought I was going to shock you. And that's why I'm shocked. I can't believe you gave it such a high score, bro. But I digress. But yeah, I got to give this an 8.5, man. This is the best shit I've seen from WWE in a good while. And I mean, you know, yeah, we had some nitpicking here and there and shit, but other than a few things, man, all good aside, man, this was badass.
Better than WrestleMania. Fuck WrestleMania.
It was. And you know something? It pisses me off, man, because I know they're capable of doing this shit all the time.
What was it, DJ?
No, I was just going to say, I will say this. It turned out to be a lot better than I had thought it would be, just because based on what we were getting from Raw and SmackDown and the lack of build on anything, for it to be as good as it was, I'm not saying it was, you know, out of this world fantastic, but it wasn't terrible either at the same time. I can honestly say that it was much better than I had anticipated, just based on what we were getting from the shows to try to build this thing up. There weren't very many matches. Some of them were just made up the last minute. Some changes were made. But with all that, it actually turned out to be a halfway decent pay-per-view, better than most of the other pay-per-views we've seen. I'd say I think this was probably one of the better ones that we've seen as of late. So I was very surprised.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you, WrestleMania. Fuck you, WrestleMania Backlash.
Yep. Well, definitely better than WrestleMania Backlash.
So, that's all for tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
You want applause?
So.
That's all for tonight's show.
All right, DJ from FLA, close yourself out.
Christian, thank you. Thank you ever so much for having me on again. I appreciate it. I know this is like my second or third show being on here with you. I'm always appreciative of that and for letting me give my thoughts and my opinions on certain things. So thank you, and hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Yes, you're
and
very welcome,
too,
ladies and gentlemen. DJ from FLA.
Thank you.
right, Minister. Sinister, close yourself out.
Right on, man. Hey, thanks for hosting the show. And DJ, thanks for being here with us. It's nice to meet you. Value your input and opinion. Man, I thought it's what pisses me off, man. They're capable of doing so much better, but they don't. And, you know, tonight proved how capable they are. They're cheating us. They're cheating us, man. So they need to fucking step it up. Other than that, listen to us on fucking Tuesday night. Peace out, motherfuckers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Minister of Senator. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Fatal 4-Way Radio Hell in a Cell Review Aftermath. I was your host, Christian from Philly. Like the man said, tune us, see us at Tuesday for the predictions, who won the prediction game. Other than that, good night, motherfuckers.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.